Father, we love you, worship you, and thank you for those things that you have for us, that you have for us, God. I think I'll just, this verse of scripture will stay in my heart for years. It's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's your good pleasure that pleases you. You want us to partake. You want us to be partakers of your will and your plan for our life, Father God. And so this morning, as I minister your word, I thank you for a sufficiency and an ability. But I also thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher in this place. And he speaks to each heart. He speaks to each mind. He brings light and understanding into each person's life in that unique, sweet, wonderful way that only he can. So just thank you, Father, that we all get to work in harmony with you. Some giving, some receiving. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, do me a favor again, please, and take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And for our text this morning, we're going to have three passages of Scripture that are going to be the kind of the foundation of what I get started with, and then we're just going to go from there. And this also might be one of those interactive messages, one of those interactive services where you're engaged, you're involved, and because I'm really desiring that your thinking and your heart is engaged, and you're letting the Holy Spirit inspire thoughts inside of you. Amen. As we go along. So, Numbers chapter 13. And just in here, Moses sent the 12 spies out. This is what's just like last Sunday's message, I know. Sent the 12 spies out, and they came back, and they start to give the report. They start to talk about the land and how awesome the land is, how beautiful the land is, and all of that. And then they are also giving facts that Moses wants, you know, the nuts and bolts. Yes, the cities in the land are fortified. Yes, there are giants in the land. And they're starting to do that and just all the facts. And the people start to get panicky. They start to get scared at hearing about the giants in the fortified city, because this is the promised land that they're supposed to go into and possess. And this report starts to scare them. Well, then Caleb shouts out, "No, no, 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 you guys! We should go up at once, and surely we'll overcome." And then the 10, "No, we can't." And they go through, you know, their reasons why they can't. And their reasons why they can't are because of what they have seen with their physical eye. And then here's a crazy thought. We've had this thought. Shared it last week as well. What had the children of Israel seen God do back when they were in Egypt, and through Moses, God comes in on the scene, and what does God do for the children of Israel? He sets them free. He delivers them. And think about this. They lived through that. They watched it happen. They experienced it. They were a part of those 10 plagues. They don't have to wonder what it was like. They were there. They were standing at the edge of the Red Sea. They saw Moses stand up with the rod, and they saw the Red Sea divided, and they walked through on dry ground. Yeah, amen. This is awesome. This is incredibly cool. And they get on the other side of the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians start to come through, and they are no more. That army is just wiped out. Wow. And now here they are on the edge of the promised land, and they start to panic. Okay, in these last couple verses in this chapter, I want to get to. And we could actually almost just go to verse 30, but I'll pick up at verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Keep in mind all the stuff they just had seen, just had lived through, just experienced, what God had done on their behalf. "For they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "It is a land through which we have gone as spies, a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Now, in whose sight did they see them? Whose sight did they see themselves as grasshoppers first? In their own sight. They still saw themselves as grasshoppers. Something hadn't changed. Even though they're no longer in Egypt, even though they're no longer slaves, even though they're free and ready to walk into the promised land, there's an area where they're not free. They're not free in thought life. They're not free in how they see themselves. See, they had lived in slavery for 400 plus years. And at the beginning, it wasn't so bad. But towards the end, it got really, really bad. And they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves, oppressed. Even though they're no longer slaves, they still see themselves as grasshoppers. You know, there's that verse of scripture, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And that's how they were seeing themselves. That's how they were thinking about themselves. And so when they then saw the giants, they don't see themselves as victorious. They don't see themselves as overcoming. They don't see themselves as those who are going to possess the land. Something that I've taught in the past is, in you get to the end of Joshua, and it talks about, and they went in and they took possession of the land. And not one word of the good words which God had shared with them failed, but they all came to pass. And I like to say this, you know what they had to take possession of before they took possession of the land? They had to take possession of the Word of God. They had to take possession of the promises of God. And when you take possession of the Word of God, when you take possession of the promises of God, it'll do something to our brains. It'll rewire ourselves. It'll rewire our thinking. It'll rewire the way we see ourselves. The more we'll take God's Word in, the more we'll start to see ourselves and think about ourselves as God sees us and as God thinks about us and who He has created and designed us to be. Amen? And I'll tell you what, it is so good to walk in a freedom in thought life, to be at peace and to be free and to be at liberty in thought life and not be under the pressures and the bondages of the enemy and to get a hold of what God says about us. It is so good. So having said that, go with me to James, James chapter 1. And I have multiple titles for today's message. One is retrain the brain. Amen. Why don't you look at somebody and say, "I'm going to retrain my brain." James chapter 1. Another one is rewiring your thinking. I'm going to rewire my thinking. It's going to get rewired. James chapter 1. And then after James, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. James chapter 1 and then Romans 12. And keep a marker here in James 12. I hope to get, James 12, yeah. James 1, I hope to get back here. Verse 21. James 1, verse 21. Y'all doing okay? Amen. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness an overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. We mentioned last week that the soul is our mind and our will and our emotions, and it doesn't get saved, it doesn't get born again like our spirit man does when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But how many of you know, sometimes our thinking just really is not helpful to us. You ever been there where your thinking wasn't helpful to you? And that word save, I liked what Diana said when we were talking about it one afternoon, to save, to rescue. You know, sometimes we need rescued from our own thinking. And I hope to get into some of that today and really get you guys to thinking about how we think sometimes. And I needed rescued from how I would think. And thank God his word was able to save my soul. His word was able to rewire the way that I think. All right, now, Peter. No. Romans 12. Romans 12. Just quickly to Romans 12. Keep a marker there in James. Romans 12. And this is kind of going to be fun today in Romans 12. I get to do old school and new school. This Bible was given to me by a lady named Luella Sedevi down in Rushville when I first started pastoring. It was printed in 1958. It's Phillips translation. It's really hard to find them. And it's just a favorite translation of mine. So we're going to read out of this, and then we're going to, you know, then we're going to do new school. We're just going to go modern. We're going all the way in. For me, it's just fun. I don't know about the rest of you, but listen to Romans 12, chapter 2. Here in the Phillips translation, I really like it. Verse 2, yeah, Romans 12, verse 2. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Just picture that. Just meditate on that for a while. What is the world around you trying to do? It is trying to squeeze you into a mold. Sometimes I think the world around us could be like a boa constrictor. Do you ever notice that they don't always move real fast? When you see them, they don't move real fast. And how many have seen the animation of the Jungle Book? You've seen the animation of the Jungle Book and the snake in that? Oh, that, what a picture. What an amazing picture that is. I just got blessed in my thought life here with that. Here it is. Here's the snake in Jungle Book. I don't remember the little guy's name now. Mowgli, thank you. So here's Mowgli, and the snake shows up. And the snake's talking to Mowgli. Just talking. You know, just kind of saying nice things to him. It's got his attention. And Mowgli's just looking at the snake, just kind of listening. And some of them it makes like he's getting hypnotized. You know, just. And there he is. And all the while, and Mowgli doesn't know what's going on. But what's the snake doing? He's just wrapping himself slowly around Mowgli. Well, I'll tell you what, that's how it can be for us as believers in the world that we live in. There are thoughts that will come into our brain to get our attention. And just slowly, you know, if I just jumped real fast on Scott and pounced on him, he'd be done. He'd just be, no. He's like, no, probably wouldn't happen. My two boys are over there going, no way, Dad, it wouldn't happen. You'd be on the floor after a few seconds. But you know what? If the enemy just came, bam, with these sudden attacks, you'd be aware of it. But he tries to come in and slowly, in thought life, get us to think a certain way, to squeeze us. And it's not always a fast squeeze. Sometimes it's a slow squeeze. Makes me think of that song, A Slow Fade. Maybe you remember without. It's a slow fade. Sometimes we just slowly fade away. Sometimes we're slowly squeezed into the way the world wants us to be, the way the enemy wants us to be. Okay, I'll just read this again. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that what the plan that God has is for you. Meet all its demands and move towards the goal of true maturity. Now let me read for you out of the Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed, progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Now, there's a word in here. But be transformed. And in the Greek, that word means this, metamorphosis. Now, think about a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. That is supposed to be going on in our mind. A metamorphosis, a change in the way we think, letting God rewire our brain. You know, you'll hear me talk about thought patterns. Thought patterns, we just have certain thought patterns for certain situations. This situation, this is what you do. This situation, this is what you do. It's just where you're going. Does your brain ever take you someplace that you really don't want to go? Does your brain ever take you someplace that isn't where God wants you to be? Amen. Thought patterns. What God wants to do is get in through his word and rewire our brain. Retrain our brain so that when we encounter these certain situations, our brain no longer goes to where it used to go, to where the world wants to mold us and shape us, but now our brain stays and goes where God wants us to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Metamorphosis refers to the process that leads to an outward permanent change. I like that right there. That Greek word transform is a metamorphosis that takes place in the brain that leads to an outward permanent change. So what ends up happening? Our behavior is changed. Our conduct is changed. But what changed it? Rewiring the brain. It goes from caterpillar to butterfly. Boy, I like that. There are some places in our life where that has happened. It is so obvious. And I'll just give you an example, jump to an example right now. Diana and I, we had a rough Thursday night, okay? We just did. And then that Thursday night spilled over into Friday. Any husbands and wives ever have a rough night that spilled over into the next day? We just had a rough night that spilled over into the next day. And then Friday, we bring up the subject matter again. And we're in the kitchen. And this is what her and my fights look like now. Okay? Because it's a tough conversation. It's a tough discussion. It's real life. It's not easy. We're talking about things that aren't easy to talk about for either one of us. And this is what's going on. We bring the subject back up, and while we're doing that, I've got the dust mop in my hand, and I'm mopping the floor with the dust mop, moving the chairs. She's over in the kitchen at the counter wiping things down and rearranging stuff. And we're having a conversation back and forth that's not easy. Well, we're cleaning the kitchen. You might want to look at somebody who says, man, their fights have sure changed. It changed. It's so radical. Because one of the things that's happened is we've retrained our brains. We've rewired things. Are there certain things that people can say, boom, and you're set? It just puts you on a path. Come on now. Go ahead. Let's just be honest. Yeah, that's all they got to do. It's just one word. Now, there's certain words that I avoid. Can I do this one just for illustration's sake, babe? She's like, I have no clue what you're about to do. Here's something I don't do. My brain got retrained. I'm only saying this for just teaching purposes. I do not call her mother or mom because she's never liked it. And there's a history behind it. I was such a basket case when we first met, doing drugs, doing alcohol. I was such a basket case, almost needed her to take care of me. And I think it was about 7 years ago, about that long ago, I deliberately, on purpose, said, yes, mother. Ooh, never again. And see, the thing was, I knew better. Well, there's been some retraining going on up here. So I don't say that anymore. A rewiring, a transformation, a metamorphosis. You know, my brain just doesn't go there anymore. That doesn't come up. I have an illustration. Okay. Got this drill. I would have my new DeWalt one, except for it's wearing out. But I got this drill, and I want to drill a hole in this board. Okay? So let's just... Somebody want to come try? What are some of you thinking out there? Oh, it's in reverse. How quickly did you come to that thought? Right away, right? Here's a problem. When our thinking is in reverse, we don't necessarily notice it. We're better at noticing somebody else's thinking being in reverse than we are our own. This is where you look at somebody and say, yeah, now I know he's talking to you. Can't be me. You know, but we got it. It's back. Now, it's an amazing thing. You just flip a little button. And something inside here, if I knew the science of it and the electricity, somebody in here probably knows it, but something in here just got switched. It just got changed. Now it's going to be a little bit different. It's better when your illustrations work better. All right. Now it works. Now it works. Just a matter of flipping a little button. You know, how many of you know it's going to take a while? I want to do this. I want to try to come up with some areas where we need to rearrange our thinking, retrain our brain. I want you to think about some of those in your life. I've got some of them written down. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. I'm going to use driving for me, okay? But you're driving, and you can think about it for yourself. You're driving, and somebody gets right on your bumper. Where does your brain go automatically? Go ahead, just shout it out. Just say where your brain goes, what your reaction is. Touch the brakes. Okay, we got touch the brakes. We got slam on the brakes. What? Death brake. Death to the person behind me. Okay, what are some others? There's some others in here. What are some other responses? Pull over and let them go by. What did somebody in here say? Go slower? Oh, I see. Yeah, that was the other. But do you see, we all have these different places that our brain just goes. And we don't even decide to go there. Our brain just goes there. How many of you just keep driving down the road and don't let it bother you? And just figure, you know what? Somewhere along the way, they'll get past me. And if it's really, really bugging them bad, yeah, I might pull over. How many of you have this happen? A car comes up real fast behind you, and then they go out to pass you. What might be your response there? Speed up. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, it turned into a racetrack. You know, it's a race. It's on now. And nobody, it's just, that's the way the brain is wired. I can relate to that. Somebody passes me and starts going faster than me? I don't think so. You know, and I admire those people that they're just going at their pace. Somebody passes them. They don't even look at you. They just keep right on going steady. They're not letting. I had this thought with driving. Why do I let people push me around? That was for you, Scott. Why? Why do we let people push us around? It's because our brain is wired to go to a certain place. I just decided, no, I don't think so. I'm not letting you push me around. You want to drive faster than me? Go ahead. I don't know how many times I've caught myself going to Rapid. I like to leave plenty early so I don't have to hurry. But guess what I do? I still speed. And someone passes me. I'm going to keep up. And then sometimes I pass somebody, and then they will pass the car that I passed, and they stay right on my bumper. Now it is a race. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago, don't let this get out there, but I'm doing like 95. And the guy's keeping up with me. For a faster car? You know, but see, it's just my thinking. How many of you think, Pastor, your thinking's a little goofy in that? But see, that's just for an illustration. Are you catching what I'm saying? What are areas in your life? How about money? How about finances? When a bill shows up in the mail, where does your brain go? What's your thought pattern with that? Got to pay it? Is anybody just, the brain might, man, where are we going to get that money from? Check the balance. How many of our brain just goes, well, thank God that you meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's where it ought to go, but it doesn't always go there. It takes a while to retrain that thing, to get our focus down. And sometimes people, they will live poverty-minded. I remember when I was working in Oklahoma, going to Bible school as plumber's helper, and there's these two older ladies, and we got called to their job. To their house to do a job in their kitchen. And nice house, big house. They're probably in their 70s, 75. This is back in the mid-80s. And everything. When you're a plumber, you have to open up cabinet doors and things like that, you know, to get to stuff. And every can of food, every product that they had in their kitchen back then had kind of a off-white, grayish label with black letters. You remember those cans? Everything generic. Just generic food, their cereal boxes, their cans, everything. And then when we got done with the job, Randy, who knew him better than I, he says, you know, it doesn't appear like those two ladies have a lot of money, does it? I said, no, it didn't, man. When you saw all their food and all that stuff and everything, I have a lot of money. He goes, actually, they have millions. But see, they came out of the Depression era. And their mind, their brain was wired into such a way that we can never spend too much money. You know, we can laugh about the driving part, but then we start to getting to this in areas, and it's huge. It's huge to retrain our thinking. It's huge. How about forgiveness? Forgiveness towards other people. You know, I want to be one who, when I get done wrong, my attitude goes right straight to, well, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to hold that against you. And then I try to put myself in a position where I know that other person's hurting. I remember when my dad died. You know, obviously we're all hurting as kids, some more than others. But Cass was really hurting. And I went up to him just to console him, just to try to, you know, be a friend, be a brother. And he turned around and just said something back to me just to cut on purpose. But I've learned to get a hold of this truth. Hurting people hurt people. You know, and I didn't do this right at the moment. I went to a place where I would go in my wrong thinking, gee, what's wrong with me? What'd I do? Why is he mad at me? He wasn't. But see, that's just where my thinking went to as a pattern. He wasn't mad at me at all. He was just hurting, and he didn't know how to respond. You know, when people respond improperly to us or they hurt us or something like that, I want to go to forgive. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's where I want to go. I want to be that way. That's what I want to do. Where do you go when somebody wrongs you? There's people, I hope not anybody in here, but maybe once you were here, well, I'll get you back. That's going to cost you, buddy. I'm going to make you pay. There's different places we go in our thought life. Here's another interesting one. Image of God. I've got a dear friend, a good friend, and they grew up in an abusive home. Verbally, for sure. Maybe some physical, I don't know, to the degree. But their image of God, and they have been a Christian for years, but their image of God is their earthly father. That he's mean, he's unfair, he's harsh, he's hard, he's not tender, he's not loving, he's not kind. That's, you mention Father God, and their brain goes right there. Anybody in here have to get rid of that thinking when it came to God? There might be some people that did. I'm so thankful God, you know, even though my dad wasn't the sweetest guy and wasn't a great example of God, I never got that image of God in my brain. You know, there's a lot of other ones in here. Disagreements. When you have a fight, when you have an argument with somebody, where do you go? I want to look at this one, if you would. Head with me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. Oh, man. You guys still doing okay? Is this making sense to you? Is this making sense? Is it like real? Is the Holy Spirit like talking to you, going, okay, okay. How many of you would want somebody somebody close to you say, hey, there's an area where whenever you encounter this situation, your thinking always goes negative. How many of you would want people to speak up and say, hey, have you ever noticed that? Because here's the thing, for us it's normal. A lot of my thinking that wasn't renewed was my normal way of thinking. That was normal. My normal was wrong. Pastor, so are you saying that I could be sitting here and some normal thinking that I have is wrong? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And it needs to be rewired. There needs to be a transformation. Now, I don't know what areas, and I'm not saying every area of your life, but I can guarantee you it's worth taking note. And it's worth having somebody speak to you. If you can't see it, just say, hey, help me out. How many of you know we all need help? Turn and look at somebody and say, yeah, I need help. I need help. How many of you would trust the person next to you to help you? Trust the person next to you to help you. You know, let me just ask this question in here. How many of us in here actually really love about the people that are in this room? What do you want to see happen for and in the people's lives in this room? How many of you want to see them prosperous? How many of you want to see them in peace, with joy and laughter? But how many of you know sometimes our feelings actually take us away from those things? Because that's just how we think, and we think it's normal. There's times where we need someone to speak into our lives that we don't want to hear. And can I share something with you? Sometimes God will want to use people that you don't necessarily like. I blew that. I'm going to go somewhere, and now you're going to know who I'm talking about. And I try never to do that. But Diana's sister Teresa and I have not always got along. God had to actually do a miracle in me. He had to do a major work in me to get my thinking corrected. And, boy, we're just different. Okay, we think different. We're different with animals, with politics, with relationships. We're different. And when we were going to Bible school, we were talking about our routine, and our kids would stay up. Caleb would stay up till 10 at night and stuff. We didn't have a bedtime. And we're going from early in the morning till late at night. And Teresa just spoke to us one night and said, you too need some time alone. You need to put your kids to bed early. Now, this is coming from somebody that I didn't like. And I'm the dad. She's the mother. Who do you think you are? Anybody's brain ever? I'm so thankful we didn't do that. We received that instruction. We took it to heart. And our children got a bedtime, 8 o'clock. Took a little bit to get there, but I'm so grateful for that. There's times we need someone to speak into our life who can see what we can't see. And sometimes we can't see things in our own life. Amen? God, help me. And if you need to, Father, send somebody across my path to talk to me and help me make necessary adjustments. Praise God. In that verse of Scripture, you got open to Proverbs. Did I say chapter 18? I just want to share something from this with you. There's several different translations. The one that I had it quoted to me was, he who answers a matter before he hears all of it is stupid. The Bible's a little gentler than that, but that's the paraphrase that I got. Listen to this here. Verse 13, Proverbs 18. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. It is folly and shame to him. And I actually quoted that first one wrong. Not it is stupid, but he is a fool. And I just thought, he who answers a matter before he hears the whole thing is a fool. How many times do people answer and respond to something before they've heard all the facts? That's a folly and a shame. So over the years, one of the things I've tried to do is not be so quick to respond back. I think about that verse of Scripture in James. We were going to go back to it, but I'll just quote it. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Boy, you got to hear that whole thing together. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. I'm actually trying to get to where I don't respond if I don't know all the facts. And with the flooding that took place in Texas and in Florida, I think this one happened in, I don't know if it was Texas or Florida, but there was a photo of some elderly ladies sitting in a nursing home with water up about mid-level or so, knitting. Any of you see that picture? Okay, well, it was presented, I hadn't seen the picture. I had seen the picture, but I didn't read anything about it. And then a person started to present that to me, and I knew what was coming after they brought it up. It was going to be negative. How could they let that happen? Rah! That was just going to be the response. But I didn't know the facts, and I didn't want to join in. I don't know what went on. I don't know if people were there trying earlier to get them out. I don't know any of the facts. I don't know any of the stuff around that. And this friend of mine started to, you know, dive in. And I just said, you know, I don't know anything about that. I saw the picture, but I just don't know anything. So I don't have a response for you. And it kind of, you know, just stopped where the conversation was going. And he just goes, I like the way you think. How many of you know I didn't usually think that way? How many of us can be really, really good and quick? Here's my opinion. Here's what I think about that. I'm so thankful to God that His Word received into our brain has the ability to rewire the way we think. And the intent is so that our outward behavior is different than it used to be. Amen? Praise God. Folks, God is putting in this something supernatural. Takes place. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit who lives in us is quickening our mortal bodies, our physical body. The Holy Spirit's quickening us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, along with the Word of God, can go into your brain and you've got certain thought patterns that exist, and when you encounter a certain situation, you're just going to go there automatically, but it can go in and rewire it. And you don't automatically go there anymore. Now you go to the Word of God. Now do you go to what God says? Now you go to the promises of God, and then all of a sudden, your actions, your behavior is different than it used to be. I'm so glad that my behavior in relationship with my wife is so different than it used to be. My children are so glad that God rewired my brain. There's a verse of scripture it's in that Phillips translation. It says this: fathers, do not overcorrect your children, lest they grow up feeling inferior and frustrated. When I read that, and in that translation, I instantly went to when I was a kid, and my father would constantly overcorrect. I mean, if he was breathing and I was breathing and we were in the same space, I was getting overcorrected, period. You know what that did to me? I can't ever do anything right. I grew up feeling inferior and frustrated because of the way that my father treated me. But that verse of scripture, when I read that, it did some rewiring. And I know from that moment forward, I began to respond differently to my children. I didn't say perfectly. It's a process. But I got better and better and better as a dad. And it was the life in the Word of God that changed my thinking. Amen? This is so important. I could just keep going, but I'm going to bring this to a stop right here. How many want to live holy? I want to live holy. How many of you have sin kind of crouching at the door? Yeah, sin. I just got a litany of scriptures right now that getting into my brain, and they're part of my confession. The Bible says, be holy as he is holy in all of your conduct. That's found in 1 Peter. Be holy as he is holy in all your conduct. The Bible also says, as he is, so also are we in this world. Can you live holy? How many of you can live holy? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. By the Holy Spirit, I'm putting to death the deeds of the body, therefore I live. I am holy as he is holy. I'm rewiring my brain. I'm retraining my brain so when sin is crouching at the door and sin is trying to sneak in, I see it, I recognize it for what it is, and I'm not going to go there. Did you know there's a lot of people that don't believe they can live sin-free? They believe they have to sin. That's just the belief. I have to sin. I'm going to sin. Where did God say you have to sin? He said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that is absolutely true. But you do not have to sin today. You can be holy as he is holy. How about if you start to say, I am holy as he is holy. I live holy as he is holy. I live holy. That's what he wants us to do. That's taking possession of those promises, taking possession of what he has. Amen? And I tell you what, then our outward conduct, our outward character, it's pleasing to us and it's pleasing to him and it is a light to the world. Amen? Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up.